We all need a shepherd. One Sunday, there was a young pastor. We young pastors, we always have so much to learn. Young pastor decided to use the 23rd Psalm for his children's sermon. He began to tell the children all about sheep. He told them that they weren't smart, which we know is not true. He did, sheep need a lot of guidance, and it's a shepherd's job to stay close to the sheep and protect them from wild animals and keep them from wandering away. He pointed to the little children in the room and said they were the sheep and they needed lots of guidance. Then the pastor put out his hands like this from his side, palms up in dramatic gesture, and with raised eyebrows said to the little children, if you're the sheep, then who is the shepherd? He was pretty obviously indicating himself. It was clear. A few seconds of silence followed, and then one little boy said, Jesus is the shepherd. Well, the young pastor was caught by surprise and said to the young boy, well then, who am I? The boy thought for a moment and then said with a shrug, I guess you're the sheepdog. Today's passage that we encounter today has one of the most important sayings that Jesus ever said about himself. And what does he say about himself? I am, ego, am I, in Greek, that I am the good shepherd. Ego, am I, is one of the most important phrases in the Bible and one of the most important phrases in the gospel. Jesus uses it a lot. I am he said at one point. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham came into existence, ego am I. I am. I am the sheep door. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Now we know that phrase, I am, goes way back. It's almost coded language Jesus is using. Goes way back to Moses' encounter with God on the mountain. With the burning bush. Remember that? On that occasion when Moses said to God, what shall I tell people is your name? God's reply was, you shall tell the children of Israel this, I am, has sent me to you. In that verse, I am is ego am I in the Septuagint. That's the Greek version of the Old Testament. Also in Isaiah 40, God uses this phrase, I am, over and over again in that chapter to refer to himself. In other words, ego, am I, is now thought of to be God's name. And Jesus applies that phrase to himself. He's subtly telling everyone who's listening that he's identifying with God, that he is God. These statements, these I am statements, tell us that Jesus is the one who can meet our deepest needs. He can meet our deepest longings. In approaching today's passage, we really need to pay special attention to where this passage falls in the greater story of Jesus. The background of this particular passage is really in John 9. It's the story of the man born blind. It's actually a story we're going to look at in just a few weeks. And there we find that Jesus healed the man who had been born blind. And it started a controversy with the Pharisees who refused to believe that Jesus had performed this miracle on this man. And so they worked very hard, if you read that chapter, they worked extremely hard to discredit Jesus. And the story ends with the frequently blind or formerly blind man bearing testimony to Jesus. And the Pharisees driving him out of the synagogue, the man born blind. It's an ironic twist in that story that the formerly blind man is blessed with spiritual insight as well as physical sight when the spiritual leaders of Israel refuse to see the truth standing right in front of them. The fact that Jesus lifts up in his discourse the whole idea of spiritual blindness. Then Jesus goes into John chapter 10. He uses all kinds of pastoral metaphors. We've already talked about a lot of these. He talks about sheep and gatekeepers and the gate of the sheepfold. He identifies himself as the gate of the sheepfold. And then, as I said in today's passage, he refers to himself as the good shepherd. He contrasts himself with those that are thieves and bandits who would not enter by the gate, but they are strangers who the sheep refuse to follow. And then he talks about himself in contrast with the hired hand who's paid to look after the sheep, but really only cares for their own welfare. These negative images, those who refuse to see, thieves and bandits and strangers and hired hands, are really thinly veiled metaphors referring to who? The Pharisees, right? In their encounter with a formerly blind man in John chapter 9, they reveal themselves to be uncaring about this blind man. They admit, show that they are heedless to the truth. Their actions are selfish, and they have nothing to do with the love of God or loving this man. The formerly blind man not only refuses to follow them, that is the Pharisees, but he courageously stands in front of them and opposes them. Even though he's blind, now he sees clearly. And he sees that Jesus, not the Pharisees, is the good shepherd. That Jesus deserves his trust. There's an interesting nuance that occurs in the story right near the end. I always find it a little unsettling. The Pharisees bring the blind man, formerly blind man's parents, into the synagogue to grill him. And they ask him about the nature of their son being healed. And they say to the Pharisees, we know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind, but how now he sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. He's of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. The narrator explains, or John actually is the narrator, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already said that anyone who confessed Jesus as the Christ would be put out of the synagogue, excommunicated. So his parents said, he's of age, ask him. In other words, the parents are acting like the hired hand who sees the wolf coming. Jesus leaves the sheep and flee, run away. The image of God as our shepherd, Jesus as our good shepherd, is such a familiar one for you and I. But you gotta wonder sometimes if it's still helpful to us. It seems kinda old-fashioned, doesn't it? In biblical times, everybody knew what a shepherd was and how shepherds worked. It would have been a very familiar and very helpful metaphor. But my goodness, what about now in 2023? And yet, somehow this image still speaks to us as people of faith. Psalm 23 is still one of the most beloved psalms that we know. One of the most beloved passages in scripture. I read it at almost every funeral by request. Jesus as the good shepherd is still one of the most familiar ways of thinking about him, of picturing him. And as I thought about why this is, in this very modern post-agricultural world that we live in, it finally struck me that the answer is really quite simple. You and I, all of us, we still long for a shepherd. We all know that we need someone to lead us, to protect us, to guide us. We are a lot like sheep, you and I, because sheep need a shepherd, and we need one. The world needs a shepherd now more perhaps than ever before. It needs someone to lead the world, someone that will lead them to the abundant life. I suspect that our need for being led like that by a shepherd is why superhero movies are so popular today and probably always will be. Because our world needs heroes. Our world needs leaders. Our world needs good and faithful shepherds to take care of us and to lead us. Our world certainly could use a good shepherd today, couldn't it? We need someone that we trust that will lead us as a nation, as a community, frankly, as the world. Because you and I, the world is an uncharted territory. We look back over the last 3 years, and it's been challenging to say the least. This pandemic, for example, has really taken a toll on us. I know myself and the deacons and the other boards have wondered, what will this congregation look like when we get back to the new normal, whatever that is? Like so many other congregations and even businesses, this pandemic has affected our life together. It has affected it profoundly and I think permanently. We all long for getting back to the way things were, but is that ever really going to happen? We don't know what the world will look like when all of this is over, if it ever is. There's no roadmap for any of it. There's no handbook for us to turn to. These are times when we need a shepherd more than ever. Because we are like sheep, you and I. Did you know that sheep are flock animals? Did you know that? Sheep like to be together. They don't do so well when they're on their own. They find that there's safety in numbers, and sheep seem to know that by congregating together. So they tend to spend a lot of time together. They find benefit from being together. We humans, we're flock animals too, are we not? We like to be together. We like to gather in groups, in families. There's this innate drive to surround ourselves with like-minded people, whether it be in sports or politics or work or at school. We tend to flock together. Birds of a feather flock together, as the old saying goes. And congregations have been referred to in the past as flocks, right? We are a community. A community that recognizes there are some very important reasons to be together. And the pandemic hasn't changed any of that. It's been a challenge, of course, you and I know that, in these days of social distancing, but no less important for us to find ways to be together. But what is unique about congregations is that this will surprise you. We are not necessarily birds of a feather, you and I. I mean, we might say we're all Christians or all Baptists and that we all live in this community, but beyond that, wow, we have a lot of differences, you and I. We're different ages. We grew up in different parts of the country. We have different tastes in music. We support different sports teams. We have widely varying political views, and on and on and on it goes. We are not exactly birds of a feather, you and I, except that we all follow Jesus. And we are all His people. And so here we are, you and I. We're flocking together as best as we can. When you spend time studying scripture, it becomes very obvious that God's plan for us is to be together. to be in a community of faith like this one. You might remember that the first thing Jesus did when he began his ministry was to call a group of disciples together to be in community. In the early church, after Jesus was crucified and raised, spent an awful lot of time together. In the book of Acts, that we learn that life is like for those early Christians. In Acts 2:46, we find this description. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home. They ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. Christians are supposed to spend a lot of time together. We're not intended to be on our own. That's why Christ created the church. That's one of its primary purposes. So that we can come together and we can be safe in the community together. We can also join together in seeking guidance from the shepherd, especially in uncertain times like this. And that brings us to the second way we're like sheep. It turns out, believe it or not, sheep have very good hearing. And especially hearing the voice of their shepherd. It was a practice typical in Jesus' day for shepherds to get together with all of their sheep and gather them together to pasture and also to gathering around a watering hole. In those scenes, it was chaotic. It was noisy, to say the least. But at the end of the day, the shepherds would call for their own sheep. And the sheep would follow their own shepherd to the place where they bedded down at night. In the midst of all that chaos, all those competing voices, sheep hear the shepherd's voice. They follow their own shepherd. And that is, of course, what we're supposed to do. Listen to our shepherd, our good shepherd, and follow him. You know, there's a lot of competing voices today, isn't there? They're all clamoring for our attention. Voices from the TV, voices from the computers, voices from our phones and tablets, and on it goes. But there's really only one voice that matters for our soul. That's the voice of the shepherd. The voice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sheep are good at listening to the voice of their shepherd. And we need to be, now more than ever. And the third characteristic about sheep that I'm reminded of today is that sheep are natural followers. Sheep don't like to be pushed. They prefer to be led. And it was their shepherd who leads them. We've already probably heard the idea that sheep are stupid animals, right? We've heard that. But that turns out it's not true at all. Sheep supporters claim that it was actually cattle ranchers who started that idea because sheep don't behave like cows. I don't know if you've noticed on a Western, for example, cows have to be herded from the rear by the cowboys. Have you seen that? They yell and they prod the cows to get them going in the right direction. But when you stand behind sheep and you make noise, they just try and get behind you. So some cattle ranchers assume that sheep are stupid animals, when in fact sheep simply preferred to be led and not pushed. Cows can be pushed, sheep must be led. And when you think about it, when you think about it, that's not stupid at all. Cows can be pushed, sheep must be led, but sheep trust the shepherd. We go where the shepherd goes. The sheep let the shepherd go first, to make the way safe for us, and then to invite them to follow him. Isn't that what Jesus is really asking of us? wanting us to be his followers. He's not going to stand around and push us. He's not going to force us or coerce us. Instead, he just keeps calling us in many and varied ways and invite us over and over again to just follow him. And he promises to lead us, to protect us, to even lay down his life for us. And he invites us to trust him and follow him. Jesus is our shepherd, friends. He's the good shepherd. He's the leader that the world needs right now, and we are his sheep, flocking together, listening for his voice, following him. Perhaps this image of being sheep and Jesus is a good shepherd is not as out of date as I might have originally thought. Or perhaps we need an out of date image to remind us of what we really need right now. Because it's not going to be found in technology, it's not going to be found in progress, or any of the things we are tempted to follow. Our world has not outgrown its need for shepherd. It is now, just as it's always been, a world in need of a good and faithful shepherd. We pause to remember that today. We are blessed, you and I. We are blessed that we have a shepherd. One who is good and loving and faithful, who promises to lead us all the days of our lives through trials and tribulations or whatever this world throws at us. We can help this shepherd by being faithful sheep, by continuing to flock together, faithfully listening for his voice and following him.